This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Some sites are back up and some users are still reporting site and app outages after Amazon Web Services crashed overnight due to a problem in a data center in Northern Virginia. They're working on it. At first, French officials said the Louvre would reopen today, but it remains closed as the investigation goes on into the brazen robbery. Several people disguised as construction workers broke into the museum Sunday, making off with centuries-old jewels.
The thieves look to have dropped a blowtorch, the power tools they used to get in, gloves. Forensics experts are going to be poring over those items to find any clues to make sure they find these items before they disappear forever.
ABC's James Longman in Paris. President Trump doubling down on his threat to cut off U.S. aid to Colombia after the president there, Gustavo Petro, accused the U.S. of murdering innocent fishermen in the Caribbean. The White House says it was targeting drug dealers. 7 million people showing up nationwide this weekend for No Kings rallies and marches against the Trump administration. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. It's been 2 years since the Universities of Wisconsin closed the Richland campus. Now news comes today that operations will cease at the UW-Platteville-Baraboo Sauk County campus as of May 22, 2026. An email sent to UW-Platteville community members by Chancellor Tammy Ivetovich stated, quote, "This will not impact in-person degree instructional programs at the main Platteville campus. Our top priority is supporting students, faculty, and staff through this change, as we have created a dedicated transition team to assist them through this process," end quote. According to Channel 3000, UW-Platteville is set to help students transition seamlessly to its main campus. The university will develop individualized plans for staff and faculty. The Baraboo Sauk County campus opened in 1968. Enrollment is currently 178, with class sizes averaging 14. Following the closure, the campus will be returned to Sauk County. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development is highlighting how the federal government shutdown is impacting Wisconsin workers. DWD Secretary Amy Pekacek says DWD isn't able to release monthly job data, which helps organizations make crucial fiscal decisions. Pekacek says there's about 8,000 federal workers in Wisconsin, and they could also be impacted if the Trump administration decides not to give them any back pay. Finally, Pekacek says certain migrant work visas aren't being processed, which will impact the ag industry if the shutdown lasts too long. Thursday marked the 16th day of the federal government shutdown. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers outlast the Cards. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Arizona, where the Packers beat the Cardinals here last night, 27-23. The Packers substitute kicker, Lucas Haversick, set a new franchise record with a 61-yard field goal. Micah Parsons had 3 quarterback sacks in the game, the most in his career. Parsons also jumped off sides, allowing the Cardinals to stay alive, but Rashawn Gary able to force a fumble that Green Bay recovered.
The big play, the offsides by me, which is completely unacceptable. We got a right back when we came out and RG with the fumble, so that's the complimentary side. They mess up, make up for us, and we made up for them, and that's a good thing.
The road trip got off to a bad start when the team plane had to be grounded due to a mechanical problem. They didn't leave for Phoenix until 7 o'clock Saturday night.
Obviously, we already have a long, you know, plane ride, and then we were sitting basically on the terminal for about 5 or some hours.
That's Packers safety Xavier McKinney with Sports on Mike Clemens.
107.7 WRCE, news from the center and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Increasing clouds and breezy. Warmer with highs in the mid-60s. A few showers possible later in the afternoon. A few showers still possible this evening. Breezy with lows near 40. On Tuesday, much cooler. Some showers redeveloping. A high of only 48. It's 35 at our studios.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey. The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, and it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot. Or
please,
something.
Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Amy Gaither, director of a new show at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. Then Eric and Adam from Ask Your Mother drop by to rock the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning, 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north on a Monday morning, October 20th. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. John and Gordy standing by in Madison A1. First to note that author Laura Ann Bird joins us at the bottom of the hour to talk about some book festivals around Wisconsin, exactly what they are and why you might want to consider attending one. A reminder that you can always sign up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Question of the week from our Sunday morning newsletter is whether online sports betting tied to tribal casinos in Wisconsin should be a thing. There are sports books at some casinos, but what about online, where you can place bets on professional sports through tribal casinos based here in this state? Let us know your thoughts by heading over to sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. And of course, Civic Media has its own daily newsletter. Go to civicmediatoday.substack.com to learn more. And speaking of Civic Media from WMDX down there in beautiful Madison, John and Gordy are joining us now to talk about their weekend. And I will start by saying good morning, guys. This weekend is brought to you by Aleve for when you've been power washing the siding and attacking buckthorn and putting away deck furniture. But it was the perfect fall weather weekend for doing some of that fall house stuff. Home ownership, man, ain't nothing like it.
Oh, I know. I love it myself. You know, I was doing the stairway up to the upper deck, and it's all wood, and I was trying to preserve it, and it rained the next day. So that was a self-defeating moment for Mr. Handyman here. You know, but what the heck, you know, that's what happens when you're a homeowner. You just got to work with what you get.
If you let things go, like I did with the buckthorn, it just makes it that much harder when you finally go in after it. So it never ends.
You know, I got a charging station now for my EV, my car, my electronic space car. And I've got a charging station in the home now. It was installed, a lot of money. But it's done, and now I can charge it any damn time I want.
And anybody else who wants to stop by John's house, bring your electric toothbrush, plug it right in. We'll charge that up. We'll get all kinds of things charged up and going for you.
That's right.
Gordy, you didn't work nearly as hard as the rest of us, did you?
Oh, he did. Well, actually, I worked. I still had to wrap up my move from the east, from the west side of Madison the east side of Madison in the middle of all everything else that was going on in Madison with the protests, the No Kings protest, and of course the Badger game on Saturday.
See, he wants to be with the hippies on the east side of Madison. He wants to hang out with
them.
The patchouli oil and the beaded curtains in the doorways. That's
Oh man, when I picked the wrong weekend to move.
you did.
But we got it all done.
He had to
we
go through the No Kings parade.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking now on the text line. Troy in Mount Horeb has been uploading pictures from the rally there. Again, all kinds of great signs. Here's another one going, I am Aunt Tifa. I don't know if there's an Uncle Tifa, but I like your sign there. And I was saying before, I mean, times like these, you really find out that even in times of, you know, despair and crises, people are funny. Man, when they need to be, when they need to make a protest sign, they're good.
Yeah, I think they've got the hand on the pulse of the nation by going in costumes and making it fun. Yes. So that if anything does happen, if they get hassled by the cops or the National Guard, it'll look really, really bad for them because they're hauling away a unicorn or a giant bee or maybe
a slightly
Merlin
deflated T-Rex.
Yeah, exactly. So no, there were all kinds of great signs. I love the costumes. And again, just the, how do I put this? I mean, people that they totally care about their country and not just about themselves. It's not just like, you know, my social security or something. And they're caring about the people who are being rounded up on the streets. You know, they're caring about people other than themselves. And I think it was all in all a very positive experience for the country.
Yeah, in fact, it contradicted a lot of the stereotypes that the right wing tried to portray about these events, because they always said, well, all the signs are the same, they're prefabricated and all that stuff. That is completely opposite of what we saw.
Yeah.
Everybody created their own sign.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I thought it was maybe when I looked at the times, because the times were all over the place. Some started at 9 a.m., some started later. And I thought it was a little odd that the Madison one was going to basically coincide with a football game. And then I realized there's so many people, they wanted any reason not to go to the football game anyway.
Right.
So, you know, can we rally for every Badger football team home game for the foreseeable future? I mean, we'll find a reason if we have to.
Well, one interesting statistic is that there were no arrests for the big No Kings rally at the Capitol. Okay. Mm-hmm. But there were 17, I think, arrests at the UW Badger game. So maybe Trump should get the National Guard out to protect us at the
Camp Randall.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that was the other thing that somebody noted, is that in all of the pictures from all these protests, you don't see like grifters selling their T-shirts and their flags.
Exactly.
You saw that the sidewalks were left clean, and as somebody else said, and Grindr didn't crash. So, I mean, unlike a lot of the January 6th, you know, and related stuff, you know, these were folks who were very task focused, and it wasn't just another, you know, sideshow like it seems to be at a lot of these Trump rallies and things like that. So I really got to tip my cap to folks.
Yeah, leaving the streets and the sidewalks clean was something that I noticed as well. I watched a lot of the opposition, the right wing postings of the empty streets, you know, saying no one showed up. You know, it was after the event, of course, but the streets were absolutely sparkling. I mean, there was not a thing on the ground at all. But after a, you know, rally for Trump, it's
all the time.
It's
usually trashed. Yeah,
it really crazy. Is. Yeah. Talking to John and Gordy from 92.7 WMDX, right?
You got it.
Mm-hmm. See what? Look at that. The show prep. It's all about the show prep. So,
you did it.
So we've gone over the No Kings rallies and the Badger game, and have we all just kind of collectively moved on from the Brewers, or are we still in any kind of a mourning period for what happened with the Dodgers?
No.
The Brewers did the best they could, and it wasn't nearly good enough.
We could see them petering out.
Yeah.
This was going to be a bad event, and it was, so it's done.
But like I was saying, when you saw that game, when you saw Shohei Ohtani, what he did, you know, I mean, I was awestruck, to be quite honest with you, because I know what he does, but then when you see him do it to your team, you're like, I can't even be mad. I just got to admire the guy for doing
absolutely
this.
I agree.
Three homers and held 10
strikeouts and
unbelievable. Yeah,
I know. What else were you guys talking about on the show today?
Well, we were talking about the Packers and finally pulling it out at the end, where they've been normally losing the games at the end, but this was just a fantastic win. And the fact that a kicker comes in the second time he started for the Packers, he was going to go into teaching momentarily, and then all of a sudden the Packers called him up. He goes out there and he makes a record kick. A Green Bay Packer record kick.
It made me wonder. I suppose, do we know what he's getting paid? We know it's more than a teacher, because otherwise he'd have said no thanks. But that's a pretty good swap of paychecks, you know, for the work that he does.
But we had Jan Stenerud. We had these great kickers with the Green Bay Packers. This guy comes in, he would have been going into teaching had he not been called up by the Packers. Second game, and he kicks a record field goal, I believe.
So let's say this happens to you. Mm-hmm. What sport could call you and say, we need an emergency walk-on and you're the guy? So is it John the impromptu hockey goalie? Is it Gordy the impromptu place kicker? What would get the call for you? What would you be willing to do to try as a walk?
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's a really good question.
While you contemplate that, keep in mind that one of my favorite things I like to say during any time there's an Olympics is there should always be one regular person competing in this thing so that you know how good these athletes are. So, like, when they're swimming, way down at the bottom of the screen in lap 8, you know, is Floyd, who's otherwise, you know, a janitor at the arena, and he's trying his best, you know, swimming down there in lane 8, or somebody running in the other lane. And, you know, it's good to appreciate that these guys, even these walk-on kickers, are pretty darn good. So now they've given you time to think about it. What could you conceivably be called in to do?
I'm glad you brought up sports, because I was really good at the javelin throw when I was a teenager.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. I went to an overnight camp for 2 weeks. My parents obviously needed the break, but they had an Olympic day. And I threw that spear farther than any other camp counselor, anybody at the camp. I was so good at it because I watched a lot of, you know, Jungle Jim and Tarzan movies and how the natives threw the spears. And I watched it because they always projected. They always put the weight of the spear on the front end and they pushed it. And it was just the way to do it. And
I've never been so thankful to be a distance coworker right now that if you ever got upset,
look at
I mean, whether it's Gordy or Alba, if something comes through the window one of these times and just right through the chest, we'll know who to suspect right away. Go. So, so javelin thrower, there
javelin thrower. Yes.
There you go, Gordy. Now what'd you come up with?
Oh gosh. The only thing that I was ever any good at sports wise was ping pong. So, you know, I don't think there's a call
it's in the Olympics.
Ping pong.
It counts. Yeah. Parker, how about you?
I was decent enough at tennis. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounded like you're being modest right now.
What about
now,
you, Pat?
Yeah. There must be a water boy role in some of these things, you know, that somebody, somebody could
do. You go for a call up on being a water boy. I got it.
I would just. Yeah, I guess I would do that. If I had gone into sports, which quite clearly I did not, the two positions that I admire are like hockey goalie and baseball catcher. You know, in both cases, they're not your typical, you know, on offense, but they're very key to, you know, keeping the game under control and keeping the score from getting run up. And those are things I might have tried maybe in my next lifetime. You know, when I do crazy things like exercise, you know, and eat right. I might consider one of those things. But
they sound like safe parts of the team.
Well, catchers are that's the most difficult position
is
there
it really?
Is.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, you got baseballs coming at you at 100 miles and puck coming at you. Oh yeah. I mean, there's definitely an element of and especially with these catchers nowadays, instead of getting in the traditional squat, they do the one leg sticking way out.
It scares me.
And I got to keep this friendly for radio, but a lot of catchers have been getting hurt badly in certain spots,
yeah,
in part because that's the style they use now. And I do not recommend. I'd rather blow up my knees than anything else that I could possibly talk about here right now. So there we go. So there's our pickup emergency sports. If you need any of us for any of these things, you guys know how to reach us. John and Gordy joining us from our Civic Media station in Madison. And still ahead, we'll be talking to author Laura Bird all about book festivals around Wisconsin that are going on this fall. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the Recombobulation Area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Quarterback Jordan Love isn't just on the Packers. He's also on the American Family Insurance team. Because like us, he believes in dreaming fearlessly.
Just chase your dreams and don't let nobody hold you back.
And we help protect those dreams with the right coverage so you can
dream fearlessly.
American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Whether you're cleaning up to host a backyard game day party or just powering through your fall projects, you can count on the performance of Steel. From blowers to chainsaws, Steel tools are built to go the distance. With legendary quality and real dealer support, you'll find the right tool and the right team for every job. Steel, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I am Phil Nee with a look at Southwestern Wisconsin sports. On Saturday, the WIAA officially released its playoff pairings for 11-player football. Games will get underway on Friday night at 7. Ithaca plays at Waseca Steuben Seneca. River Ridge will be at Blackhawk Warren, Illinois. Cashton at Brookwood and Potosi Cassville hosts Cambria Friesland. Royal will be at Roncalli. In Division 6, Darlington will host Melrose Mindoro. Mineral Point will be at Fenimore. Also among the games in Division 5, Richland Center makes the playoffs. They play at Stratford. The Hornets a 7th seed going to number 2 Stratford. Number 3 Prairie du Chien is hosting Westfield. River Valley will host Durand, Arkansas in Division 5, and Lancaster will be at Amherst. In Division 4, Amory at Aquinas. Platteville will travel to Lodi. Division 3, Reedsburg is home against Waterford. Sauk Prairie is hosting Pewaukee. And Mount Horeb-Barneveld will host Wausau East as well. Division 3 action coming up again. It's 11-player football starting its playoffs on Friday night. Over the weekend, 8-player games were held Saturday. And in fact, a team from the area that advanced was North Crawford. They were 46-0 winners against Highland. And Belmont a winner against DeSoto, 44-32. North Crawford will be hosting Hurley this Friday night at 7 o'clock, and Belmont will be at Oakfield in the next round of eight-player football, round two for those teams. This week, the WIAA soccer tournament gets underway. Richland Center will be in action on Thursday. They will be at Aquinas to open tournament play. There are a few play-in games this week, games that will be involving area teams. Also in Division III, games on Thursday include Monroe at Platteville-Lancaster, Belleville-New Glarus is hosting the Prairie du Chien Co-op, Wisconsin Dells will host Fort Atkinson, Dodgeville-Mineral Point is playing at Edgewood, and West Salem is playing at Mount Horeb among the games coming up here in soccer action. And then the WIAA volleyball tournament will get underway with games tomorrow night. North Crawford will be at Ithaca. The winner of that one will play Royal later this week. Royal has a first round bye. Also tomorrow, Cooley Christian Providence will be at Hillsboro. Oneewoke Center hosts Lafarge Youth Initiative tomorrow, and Weston will be at Wazika Steuben. In Division IV games, Kickapoo will be at Iowa Grant. The winner of that match will face Fenimore in the next round. Boscobel will be at Wisconsin Heights. The winner to face Cashton in round two. Tomorrow night, Richland Center has a first-round tournament bye. They'll play the winner of tomorrow night's match, number 11 Nakusa, at number 6 Westby. Poinette will play at GET with the winner to play at Viroqua in the second round of tournament action. Lancaster will host New Glarus tomorrow night. Prairie du Chien will be at Darlington, and Columbus will be at Dodgeville in first-round WIAA volleyball matches. The Richland Center Ithaca cross-country teams prepare for the upcoming sectional tournament with a right to run at state. After a phenomenal conference match, the Richland Center Ithaca team winning a conference championship for the boys team the first time since the mid-1970s. I talked to Coach Eric Mindum about that.
Yeah, it was a great night. You know, the boys team was maybe a little tense before the race. They knew they had a shot to go out there and win it. So it was really just a matter of going out and running our race and not trying to play hero and just doing what we needed to do and running the same race we've run all year. And they were able to accomplish it. And so a lot of pride on the team. It was really exciting to just see them go out and accomplish something that they set their minds to this offseason.
You know, it's one thing to look on paper and say, you know, we got a shot, but you got to go out and prove it. And so the pressure was on a little bit, wasn't it?
It was, and when you're running against a team like Dodgeville Mineral Point, a team that's been there, done that, you know, they're in the mix every single year, and, you know, defending champs themselves, it's kind of a pressure on us to do something we haven't done in a long time. And so, you know, as coaches, we were just trying to try to take as much of that pressure off the guys as we could and get them to relax a little bit. They put on all the training. It was just a matter of going out and seeing it through.
I know you're not looking ahead, but, you know, you look at the future and you got some youngsters in the school system that might be interested in cross country just because of the success of this team, right?
That's really the hope, is to build a culture and build a program that others want to be a part of. As I was looking through the results, it was interesting and exciting to see we had the top two freshmen in the conference on our team last night. Freshman Owen Dreyer, individual champ as well in the conference. He was the top freshman. But freshman Braden Burns from Ithaca was the second fastest freshman in the conference last night. So we feel like, you know, to credit to our senior class and all they've done on the boys' side, we feel like we've got some young runners coming up that are going to be carry this momentum forward too.
So you got to get ready for a Wisconsin Rapids field of teams. It'll be the best you've seen all year, Eric.
Yeah, we think so. There'll be some teams there like Mauston that are great teams we haven't seen yet. And we'll see Dodgeville Mineral Point again. And who knows, if we can be successful in Dodge Point 2 the way they're running, maybe we'll see them again at state.
Eric Mindum, head coach of the Richland Center Ithaca cross-country teams. They will run at sectional for the right to compete at state coming up on Friday at Wisconsin Rapids. JV football games tonight. Prairie du Chien plays at Richland Center. River Valley at Dodgeville. They're both 5:30 kickoffs, and it is the final game of the season for JV football teams around the state of Wisconsin as the WIAA playoffs are looming. Micah Parsons had a career-high 3 sacks to go with 4 tackles for loss and 5 quarterback hurries in the Packers' 27-23 win at Arizona Sunday. Josh Jacobs scored the game-winning touchdown with a minute 50 to go. Jacobs was sick but played anyway, scoring 2 touchdowns for the 3rd game in a row. The Packers struggled on offense and trailed 13-6 at halftime. The team's flight to Phoenix was delayed 5 hours Saturday. Kicker Lucas Haversick was good on a franchise-record 61-yard field goal. Green Bay is back in action Sunday at Pittsburgh. Josh Jacobs talked about the win.
Didn't really want me to play today. It was one of them things where I kind of had to, you know, convince him. But at the end of the day, I feel like, you know, you also got to know who you're talking to. And I'm one of them guys, man, if I feel like I can spin and I'm not going to hurt the team by trying to, you know, play, then I'm going to go out there and give it everything I got.
That is an update on sports during Pat Kreitlow Mornings from WRCE, FM 107.7 at AM 1450. I'm Phil Nee.
News from the Center, WRCE.
107.7 WRCE, News from the Center.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. According to Iowa County Sheriff Michael Peterson, technology and teamwork save lives. Wednesday night around 7:15, the Iowa County Communications Center received a 911 call from a 22-year-old hunter in the woods near Mill Road in Ridgeway Township who had suffered a serious injury with uncontrolled bleeding. Thanks to the dispatch team and the life-saving technology in the 911 center, responders were able to locate and reach the injured hunter quickly, even in a remote wooded area with no clear landmarks. One of the tools that made this possible is a program called What Three Words. This innovative system divides the world into small 10-foot squares, each identified by a unique combination of three words. When a 911 call comes in, the dispatch center automatically receives the caller's What Three Words location, allowing dispatchers to pinpoint their exact position and direct help right to them, even when GPS or landmarks aren't reliable. Because of this technology and the skilled coaching from dispatchers, first responders were able to find and rescue the hunter quickly. Responding agencies included Ridgeway Fire, Ridgeway First Response, Barneveld EMS, Barneveld Fire, Iowa County Sheriff's Deputies, and Fitchrona EMS, who provided a paramedic intercept when MedFlight was grounded due to weather. While the 911 system automatically generates What Three Words locations, the Iowa County Sheriff's Department still encourages everyone, especially hunters, hikers, and outdoor enthusiasts, to download the What Three Words app. Having it on your phone can provide an extra layer of safety and may help if, for any reason, the automatic connection doesn't work during an emergency. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. K-pop Demon Hunters is a phenomenon kids can't seem to get enough of, and their parents can't seem to get the original soundtrack out of their heads. Buckle up, folks, or buy some earplugs, because the film is returning to the big screen for some Halloween sing-alongs. The Netflix animated fantasy adventure tells the story of a K-pop girl band that protects people from demons with song. Netflix is behind the theatrical release and is encouraging moviegoers to wear costumes. Pop Culture Jeopardy has been renewed for a season 2. In a related story, there's a show called Pop Culture Jeopardy, and it's already been on for a whole season. The show will be moving from Amazon Prime to Netflix and has the same answer with a question format as the actual Jeopardy. Host Colin Jost is currently in talks to return to the show, which should be back in 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Increasing clouds and breezy, warmer with highs in the mid-60s, a few showers possible later in the afternoon, a few showers still possible this evening, breezy with lows near 40. On Tuesday, much cooler, some showers redeveloping, a high of only 48. Right now, it's 34.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It should not be a partisan question as to how the National Guard is being deployed. That should be extremely concerning to Republicans of good faith right alongside Democrats. If you scrub it of the partisanship, the facts are not disputable. You have flouting of court orders and a political use of the National Guard, two things which no American should ever be okay with.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time after a very disconcerting and busy news and sports weekend. We will sit down and discuss it all with our friend and colleague of Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You know, you can follow Up North News on social media. Just look up Up North News WI on your favorite social media platform. And you can follow this show as well. Just search for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on Facebook. We've got our own Facebook page where we also stream the show live, along with the Up North News and Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages as well. Let's talk to author Laura Ann Bird about book festivals. There are a couple of nice ones coming to Wisconsin in the coming days. And before we'll find out some of the books that are going to be highlighted, we got to get to the basics about what is a book festival. So first, we got to say good morning to Laura. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great, Pat.
It's good to see you. Thank you for being here. So let's start with, when we hear that there are book festivals, and specifically we're going to talk about the Chippewa Valley Book Festival and then the Wisconsin Book Festival. What, Laura, is a book festival?
Well, I just want to say that they are for everybody. You don't have to be a writer or a poet or a real book nerd like me. Anybody can go, and you can just go and listen to an author who's speaking about a book or an idea that interests you. So these book festivals are free and easy, and they're a real celebration of ideas and storytelling. And I don't know about you, but I feel really fortunate to live in a place that values those things. I totally agree.
What else?
And I just want to like reassure listeners out there that you don't actually have to read the book to go to a book festival event. I think people feel like they need to prepare somehow. You just show up, right?
I was going to say, the author's not going to quiz you like, you didn't actually read my book. No.
No, and okay. I think the assumption actually is that most people haven't read the book. And so they'll be talking kind of big picture about their books, and they're for everybody. So check it out.
What do you typically see? I mean, I'm guessing there's an area with like books and vendors, but then an area where like authors and other people speak, or are there other elements of it that I'm missing?
Yeah, well, I guess it depends on what book festival you go to. I can speak to the Wisconsin Book Festival, which I'll talk about in just a minute, but most of the events take place at Central Library in downtown Madison, and they have a few rooms reserved, and there's seating, and the author is up front, you know, and everyone else comes and listens. And usually the author is in conversation with someone else. And so it's a conversation, it's a dialogue back and forth. And audience members can jump in and ask questions. It's really laid back.
Okay. So, yeah. And we'll come back to that one. But there's also the Chippewa Valley Book Festival, which is actually getting its start tomorrow.
It is October 21st through the 25th. Chippewa Valley Book Festival, check them out online, cvbookfest.org. They are offering both in-person and virtual events, and all of them are free. They do want you to register ahead of time, though, I think just to kind of get a handle on numbers. And all the events take place at the L.E. Phillips Memorial Public Library in Eau Claire. And they have a bunch of people coming and speaking, but I just wanted to focus on three exciting titles that I think might get people excited to go. And I do want to say, too, to listeners out there, even if you can't attend these book festivals, stick with our conversation here because I have some really good recommendations. I mean, all these books are like buzzy and hot this fall, so you'll get some good reading ideas.
Okay.
So the first one is food writer Lori Frederick is coming to talk about her new book, Wisconsin Field to Fork, Farm Fresh Recipes from the Dairy State. I want to buy a copy of this for myself. It's a cookbook that weaves the stories of local farmers with 70 recipes using Wisconsin-grown ingredients. And so she really offers a fresh perspective on the value of local food. So I think that'll be a great one.
That will be. Okay. Mm-hmm. What's next?
Christina Clancy, beloved Wisconsin author, who is delightful to listen to and engage with. So she'll be really fun. At her presentation, she'll be talking about her latest novel, The Snowbirds, which explores a Midwestern couple's attempt to work on their relationship. And they do that by trading their harsh Wisconsin winter for the sunshine in Palm Springs. And everything goes great until it doesn't. So she'll be talking about like midlife, long-term relationships, and the power of place. And last, Leif Enger, Minnesota author from Duluth, who I love. He's one of my favorite writers. He'll be talking about his latest novel, I Cheerfully Refuse. And this is kind of an interesting book because it's a strange mashup of literary fiction and dystopian fiction. And I don't know how Leif does it, but he does it, and it's tremendous. And it's the story of a musician who sets sail across Lake Superior in search of his departed wife. And he sort of is like this modern day Gulliver figure as he navigates the wild sea. So it's really good. Okay. Yeah.
So those are being highlighted at Chippewa Valley Book Fest.
Yep.
And again, that is cvbookfest.org. I'm looking at their website here where it says you can listen to stories, engage with the authors. You can inspire young writers. You can create some lasting memories. There's all kinds of things that you can do there.
There is.
At the Ellie Phillips Memorial Public Library, downtown Eau Claire. Let's get over it out to the Wisconsin Festival, which, like you mentioned, is there in Madison.
Yes. And I'm kind of biased here because I'm an ambassador for the book festival, so I could talk about it all day. I love it so much. Truly, it's one of the largest and most respected book festivals in the country. It's really huge. It's October 21st through the 25th. And Wisconsin Book Festival does offer programs and events throughout the entire year. But this is the 4-day centerpiece. There are more than 70 presenting authors participating in 55 events over these 4 days. So it's huge. Most of the events are held at Central Library in downtown Madison, but not all of them. So you're going to want to check the schedule, which is found at wisconsinbookfestival.org. Every event is free and open to the public with no tickets or registration required. And you kind of alluded to this before, and I'm glad you mentioned it. There are 3 local booksellers here in Madison that are having like pop-up stores at Central Library. So you can actually buy the books that are featured. And in almost all instances, the authors will be there signing them, which is really cool. Yeah.
All right. And you got some of the books that will be highlighted?
Absolutely. I've got some great ones. I should also mention, too, if you don't live close to Madison, the festival tries to record almost all of the events, and then they'll be put up online a couple weeks after the event. So make sure to check the website so that you can actually watch.
I noticed that on the website. Yeah. That's a great feature.
It's really cool. So the first book, I'm biased again because I'm so excited about this one. It's Destroy This House by Amanda Yulee. I'm actually her conversation partner on Friday night. So I'll be sitting up there asking her about her memoir. This book is so good. It's about growing up with a mother who had a really serious hoarding problem and a father who never quite told the truth to Amanda and her little brother. It's a really hard story. I give her a lot of credit for telling it. You know, she got through her childhood, and here she is on the other side, writing in this really fresh, engaging voice. So we're going to have a great conversation.
Okay. And that, again, that was Destroy This House.
Destroy
What's our
this
next
house.
One?
Fiction by Great... I'm sorry, the title is Great Black Hope, and it's fiction, and it's by Rob Franklin. This is a really buzzy book this fall. It's a debut about a young Black man caught between all these worlds. He's caught between race and class, glamour and tragedy. And the main character is Smith, and he has to deal with his friend's mysterious death and his own subsequent arrest. And so this story takes you from, like, the nightclub to the courtroom. So that'll be really good. Okay, this is going to be a hot event at Wisconsin Book Festival on Sunday. Mary Roach is coming to talk about her newest nonfiction title, Replaceable You, Adventures in Human Anatomy. So she is really famous. She writes about science in a really entertaining way, and all of her titles have just done really, really well. So Replaceable You is her latest, and in it, she examines regenerative medicine. And that's sort of like looking at the questions prompted by the failings of the human body. Like, how does a person decide if they would be better off with a prosthetic limb? Can a donated heart be made to beat forever? I don't know the answers, but Mary Roach does, and she'll be talking about them.
Okay.
Yeah. Another really hot book this fall is The Dream Hotel by Leila Lelami. If you like sci-fi or kind of dystopian stuff, this one is going to be for you. It's eerie and urgent, and it explores the seductive nature of technology. And the author asks, like, how much of ourselves should remain private? And can even the most invasive forms of surveillance capture who we really are? So that's going to be a really good one.
Yeah.
Switching topics entirely, let's talk about cheese. This is a great new book out called The Wisconsin Way, Cheesemaking in the Driftless. And of course,
and by way, of course, W-H-E-Y.
Yep, right? Yep. Okay. And the four authors, Nicole Bajeski, Kristen Mitchell, Keith Burrows, and Leslie Damaso, traveled through western Wisconsin from Schulzburg to Westby, and they met with all of these cheesemakers. And this book tells the stories and really celebrates their dedication to our state's incredible cheesemaking tradition. And I have heard through the grapevine there will be samples at this event.
Oh, well, so, okay. Now, yes. Now put food in the mix here, too.
Exactly.
All right, good. Yeah. Nice. All right, what's next?
Two last novels to share with you. Middle Spoon by Alejandro Varela is hilarious and heartbreaking. The main character, the narrator, is living the dream. He has a doting husband, two precious children, and a sexy younger boyfriend. So this book sort of skewers the unspoken rules we live by and offers some really surprising perspectives on love, loss, and reinvention. So I think this will be a great one to go see. And last but not least, ending on a high note, The Phoebe Variations by Jane Hamilton. So Jane Hamilton is a Wisconsin legend. She is a novelist who lives on an apple orchard in the southeastern part of the state. And if you recognize her name, it's because way back, her two early books, The Book of Ruth and A Map of the World, were not just New York Times bestsellers, but they were also Oprah Winfrey book club picks. So Jane Hamilton, she's just wonderful. So this is her latest. It's hot off the press. Again, it's called The Phoebe Variations, and it's a coming-of-age novel about daughters, mothers, and finding one's way in the world. And of course, Wisconsin plays a big part in the story. It's one of the settings there. So.
All right. So these are all that will these and many more will be highlighted at the Wisconsin Book Festival, wisconsinbookfestival.org. That's easy enough for you to find.
Yeah.
And then the Chippewa Valley Book Festival, which begins tomorrow in Eau Claire. That is cvbookfest.org. So it was great that you happened to know that these couple were coming up on the calendar and helping people know, because I mean, is this like a book festival season, or is this kind of a year round thing that you'll see different communities have book festivals?
Yeah, that's a great question. So actually there are some other book festivals in Wisconsin that are also annual events, just like the two that I spoke about. If you live in the Waukesha area, the Southeast Wisconsin Festival of Books is coming up also. That's November 7th and 8th. The website for that is sewibookfest.com. That's an annual event. And then next year, looking forward to 2026, in the Stevens Point, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids area, that is the Central Wisconsin Book Festival. And that's usually held in September every year, as is the Washington Island Book Festival. So those are annual events. You can look out for those.
Where you can add to your ever-growing to-be-read list.
Yes, the TBR. You should see my TBR. It's huge.
I was just going to ask how big the TBR list is right now for you, Laura.
I have TBR stacks around my house. Ask my husband. Stacks. He's always tripping over them. They're everywhere.
Sounds like somebody needs TBR triage to be done over here. Laura Bird, thank you so much for telling us about the festivals, and we'll talk to you next month. Thanks. You so much. All right. Have a wonderful day. All right. When we come back, we'll be talking to Jane Mattenair. She and Greg Bach will have Mattenair on Air coming up from 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network. And don't forget, tomorrow we'll have my interview with Francesca Hong, also Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom, live from Washington, D.C., and Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. That's all tomorrow. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Transform your bathroom with the beautiful quality of Bath Planet. Bath Planet has earned the Good Housekeeping Seal, a symbol of quality and consumer confidence for over 100 years. And right now, for a limited time, you can upgrade your bathroom for 50% off installation or choose 18 months with no interest and no payments. But you need to call now. This special offer is only available by calling 800-329-4115. That's 800-329-4115. Call 800-329-4115 right now before the offer ends.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Mattenair on Air.
Hi, it's Jane Mattenair.
Hi, it's Greg Bach.
I'm Calvin.
Join us weekdays 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network for Mattenair on Air.
We cover all the news that directly affects us as Wisconsinites.
And we lighten things up in hour number two with a segment called Audio Sorbet, and this shouldn't be a thing. We hope you can join us.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Mattenair.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody.
Yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
The Milwaukee Brewers play here all season long. Catch the game on us, WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 in Richland Center. Milwaukee Brewers radio broadcasts give you reasons to get excited, keep you informed, and provide a great laugh. It's awesome listening on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 Richland Center.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, back now with Jane Mattenair. Mattenair on Air coming up next across the Civic Media Radio Network. You and Greg Bach. Hopefully, I mean, I know you kids have been arguing lately.
My goodness, things got hot.
Somebody was listening during the commercial break here, and PJ writes, Greg's breakfast sounds boring. So that's a spoiler alert. There's going to be a breakfast debate coming up on today's show.
Well, for the last half an hour of the show, Pat, we call it Audio Sorbet, where we get away from the news and just talk about lighter things so we all don't collectively lose our minds. And we were talking as we were prepping the show this morning about what do we want to do for Audio Sorbet, and it's Chicken and Waffle Day, which I know you mentioned when you do This Day in History.
I think we overlooked that one, Parker.
Did you?
I thought you guys missed that.
I did not see that.
Anyway, okay. So it is Chicken and Waffle Day, and this led to a discussion about whether or not sweet things should ever be involved in breakfast, which led to a 15-minute argument.
Okay.
As we were getting ready for the show. So Breakfast Wars will be our audio sorbet topic for today. Can you have waffles with syrup and a sausage croissant? Or is that a food crime? It's
I love food fights on the radio. I do. I love food fights. So that'll work out just well. And by the way, while we're doing things in the comment sections here, let's see. Alicia says, I'm not a chicken and waffles kind of lady, but she says, I did just get a new bookshelf to hold my growing TBR, meaning to be read. So with all of the recommendations that Laura just gave us. I know there's a lot of TBR on the bookshelf here behind me. But it's my TBR IR list to be read in retirement, because that's probably when I'm going to have time for that. So what else you got happening on today's show?
Well, today we are going to talk. We're going to start off and talk about the No Kings rallies. Mm-hmm. One of my sisters and I went out on Saturday. We were in Brookfield and it was a very positive experience, except for I would say the three cars who drove by and insisted on flipping us off. They were the angriest people I recall seeing. I kept asking folks, are you Antifa? Are you, you know, do you have card carrying member of Antifa? Because that's what all the Republicans who had said who was going to be out on Saturday. And nobody claimed to be with Antifa, and no one had a check from George Soros. So I was very disappointed.
I know. Come on, George. Let's pony this stuff up.
Step
please,
it up. You know? Yeah. Dude, I mean, come on.
The guy says you're paying us. So it must be true.
Also on the show today, Pat, we are going to talk about the shutdown. Brian Stile and Gwen Moore were on Upfront on WISN over the weekend. By the way, Brian Stile's been off of work for a really long time. If you wanted to leave him a call, you could probably do that and tell him what a fine job he's doing. Yes. Also coming up on the show today, all the best commutations. George Soros, of course.
George Santos. I'm sorry.
Different, yes. George.
George Santos. Again, when you elect a criminal as president, the criminals are going to be released from prison and replaced with folks like us who have not committed crimes. And that's exactly what we're seeing here. And again, I don't know where, you know, the tipping point is for any given person. But once again, I'm pretty confident that there were a couple of people yesterday that were like, really?
Yeah.
We're letting George Santos out now. So I could see where that would be the case. I'm betting you're as well going to get into Homeland Secretary Kristi Noem's new private jets. Jets, plural. J-E-T-S. Jets.
Two jets for Kristi. I've been thinking a lot about this, and I think I have determined why she needs two separate jets, Pat.
Why?
It's one for her and just one for her hair extensions, because they can't travel at the same time.
Oh, my goodness.
The weight is too much, so you have to spread it out over two private jets. It's only $172
million. Only $172 million, which they can afford along with a ballroom for the White House, endless golf trips. You've got the military occupying cities. You've got all of the ICE hirings and raids that are going on. You're getting a plane from Qatar that you have to retrofit for like $400 million.
But he gets to keep.
We'll give you a base in Idaho as well.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the $40 billion that's about to go to Argentina. While our farmers have no market, and Trump's response was, well, we're going to buy more Argentine beef, to which cattle farmers in the United States are like, wait a minute.
Yeah. And he was asked about that on Air Force One, returning from a golf trip,
of course,
about American farmers kind of feeling like they're getting the shaft. And he essentially said, you know, Argentina is having a really tough time right now.
It is. It's hard.
We need to help. I need to help Argentina because I like the president. And Scott Bessent, of course, he didn't say this, has a lot of friends who have invested in Argentina, but that's a whole kind of little side.
Well, that's the thing. You've got a leader there whose nickname is El Loco. Because yes. he is very Trumpy, I guess you could call it. And he is up for re-election later this month. And suddenly Trump, he was one of the few world leaders that showed up for Trump's inauguration, who came to D.C. And so, El Loco is getting $40 billion of our money, and now maybe we're buying some Argentine beef. And I put all this in yesterday morning's newsletter and, you know, just made real clear that at this point there is a nickname for folks who still believe that this is a president who's putting America first, and that nickname is El Loco, because it's crazy if you think that's what we're doing here. You have a lot of ground to cover today.
We do.
You probably need 2 hours for this.
It will be 2 hours. Yes, absolutely. So I hope you can join us. You can always listen on the live stream. You can listen on the app. Catch us that way if you are not in the market.
Yes. And the app, and also by there's podcasts. There's so many different ways. So, but the best one, 9 to 11 weekday mornings.
I appreciate that, Pat. I appreciate that. Parker, go have some chicken and waffles. Live on the edge. Push it.
All right.
Go crazy.
Not till after I hear you and Greg. One of you is going to sway me one way or the other. Thank you, Jane. Talk to you later.
Bye.
All right. Have a great day. Parker, thank you for everything. We'll see all of you back here tomorrow as well. We've got a full load here. We've got Representative Francesca Hong talking about her race for governor, Dan Schaefer, Cam Stevenson, Steve Bowe, Dan Hagen, James Kelly. You're going to want to stick around. It's going to start at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning when we welcome you back here up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great day.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Internet users around the world facing widespread disruption today because of a problem with Amazon's cloud computing service. Dozens of major online services and apps were down this morning. Folks on Snapchat, Fortnite, the McDonald's app, all reporting problems. A manhunt taking place across France following the jewel heist at the Louvre. Arthur Brand is a Dutch art investigator. He calls it the theft of the decade at the museum.
Targeting the Louvre, the world's most famous museum. It's as bad as it gets, especially for France, but also for the entire world.
The museum was supposed to be open again today, but it remains closed. Prince Andrew will still be a prince, but he's no longer the Duke of York anymore. Andrew agreeing to stop using his titles following years of suspicious business deals, inappropriate behavior, and his friendship with Jeffrey Epstein and others. President Trump says the U.S. could soon purchase beef from Argentina as a way to bring prices down. This is ABC News.